Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. It is Monday, October 25th. It's great to be back after a couple days away. Had a wonderful time celebrating the marriage of our best friends. It was a great honor to officiate that wedding. And it's great to be back as well. You can ask the guests how I did, Matthew. I'm sure they'll tell
you. I'm sure you did great.
No,
I'm sure
probably
you did great.
Not,
listen, I have officiated a number of weddings in my life. A couple, actually, you know, to good reviews.
What so a I'm fun sure thing to do. It was
it's awesome. It's an awesome honor, and I have no doubt that you were amazing.
I'm totally underselling just how much of an honor it was for me this past weekend. But there's another platform to express those emotions. Because I know what people want to talk about is the fact that a couple of days ago, Daniel, you held down the fort. Some were calling you the Wally Pip of ESPN Fantasy. And tell me what I may have missed.
No, I'll tell you this. I'm going to just say this right now. So first off, let's welcome in Stefania Bell. Say hello to Stefania. She's with us here. There you go. Hi, Stefania. Good morning to you. How are you? You're not even going to say anything? You know, it's a podcast, right?
Well, she figured if she started talking, you'd just cut her off. So she just decided to just avoid the disaster.
Wow. Shots fired early,
right,
Matthew.
Off the top rope.
Yeah. Thank you, Field. I'm in mourning.
What do you mean, thank you, Field? Matthew said hello to you and you said thank you, Field.
No, because Field defended me before, because Matthew was...
A little bit of disrespect. Normally I'm not on Matthew's side, but a little bit of disrespect, I gotta be honest.
Wow. Thank you,
Daniel. I was waving.
Look, Daniel's head is just growing.
Anyway, I know.
Field,
why don't you and I just do the podcast?
Great call.
You and me.
Yep.
No! Hey, Field,
I'm with you, Daniel.
How's your weekend? Let's go.
Let's be very clear here.
I want to change
it's an audio podcast and Stefania's waving. Like, listen, Princeton, like, speak into your microphone over there.
How about Princeton beating Harvard in 5 overtimes?
Let's go. There you go. Wow. Congratulations. Congratulations to the Tigers.
So
anyway,
what
listen,
did I miss, Daniel?
Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. I just want to say here right now, before we get into anything else, today's podcast is going to be awesome. I guarantee it.
Okay. Lord. All right. Lisa, roll the clip that we had from last Friday.
How am I the only person to have him ranked higher than Chase Edmonds? Is it because I'm the smartest person on the staff? Maybe. I didn't think that was the case, but I'm just saying here.
Wow.
I'm honestly, they're 17-point favorites. He gets a ton of work when they win. He's top four in the NFL in goal-to-go rushes.
Top four.
For the season, right? The Texans give up a ton of rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs.
A ton.
I don't like to do this, Daniel, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this right here, right now. Lisa, I'm on camera one. Here we go. Lisa? I'm saying this to you, and I'm saying to the rest of Fantasy Football Nation. James Conner will score a touchdown this week. I guarantee it.
Oh, wow.
I guarantee it. There you go. When I use the foghorn leghorn voice, you know it's serious. And what happened? Daniel Dopp, what happened?
James Conner got in the end zone.
James Conner got in the end zone.
I have a question for you, Daniel.
Yes, sir. Oh, no, for me. Oh, for Daniel. Go ahead.
Daniel.
By all means.
You
yes,
know,
sir.
And Stefan, you can help out here as well, right? You know the expression, when a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it actually make a sound?
Yes, I do know the expression.
Right.
Yes.
When James Conner scores a garbage time touchdown as the 6-0 Cardinals on their way to 7-0 are beating the 1-5 on their way to 1-6 Houston Texans, does it actually count?
Does it count? Field, I hate to say this to you, but the answer is yes, because
fantasy matchup.
It damn right counts.
Of course it counts.
Absolutely. It all counts. It all counts. But I have a question for you then, Daniel. As long as you want to go there. As long as you want to go there, Field Yates.
Yeah.
I'll do this.
Okay, good.
Here's my question for you, Daniel. If you, on Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning...
I wouldn't know what that feels
like,
but no
big deal. I
understand,
but this past Sunday morning, like, if say you were somebody on that show.
Sure.
Not me or Stefania, but somebody else, maybe like Field. Maybe you're somebody like Field.
Yeah, I'll pick...
And then you guarantee a touchdown for Jacoby Myers. And then the Patriots go out and score 54 points.
Yes.
But none of them include a touchdown from Jacoby Myers. Does that also count?
Well, it's almost
54
like...
54 points!
Hold on. In my defense.
Yeah, what do you got?
In my defense, I guaranteed it. I did not guarantee it.
That's fair.
So, there you go.
All right, that's fair.
I also may or may not have busted my mic on the set of Fantasy Football Now because I stood up, stomped my feet, got very excited, and all of a sudden my mic went crazy for the last 20 minutes of the show. But I digress.
How come Matthew's mic never breaks?
I know, right?
Just a fun
question. Actually, a question. But anyway, listen, I just want to thank the Texans' terrible defense and James Conner for punching into the end zone. It was dicey there for a little while. But when you guarantee it and you use the Foghorn Leghorn voice, you're out on a limb.
Yes, you
are. James Conner came through for me. So thank you. Thank you, James Conner. Thank you, the Arizona Cardinals. Thank you to the Houston Texans' terrible defense. God bless.
So on the show today, we have a secret squirrel and a blind squirrel, right? Because there you go. A while, a blind squirrel, five or not. Matthew gets one correct.
54 points.
Congratulations.
None of them for Jacoby Myers. Just saying.
All right, let's get into the injury updates. There are a bunch of them, and then we'll, of course, discuss other takeaways from week 7. We have one more game tonight. We'll preview that at the end of the show. Stefania, Patrick Mahomes left the game early for the Chiefs. They were getting blown out by the Titans. It was a nasty-looking hit. But it sounds like he may have avoided disaster.
Right. When he got hit, he was going down to the ground as it was, and then he took a hit that basically knocked his head back. So it looked like his neck was going into extension. And, you know, he looked clearly uncomfortable. He had teammates helping him up. There's me going, you always see it and you're thinking, don't help him up. Don't move him. Let the medical people attend to him. But eventually he makes his way off the field. He goes in the blue tent. We heard later that he was cleared of the concussion protocol. You know, they go in, they go through a series of tests. There's often the head athletic trainer in there, team doctor, and an independent neurological consultant. So multiple people that participate in that. He was cleared, but Coach Andy Reid apparently decided that he was not going to have him return to the game, wanted him to sit the rest out. Patrick also spoke to the media afterwards, which again is always a good sign, even though I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant conversation for him. I think the expectation is, as long as he continues to do well, that he will be available to play next week.
So we'll keep an eye on this one in case it perhaps changes at all between now and Wednesday or Thursday, but for now, good news, Patrick Mahomes.
Concussions are, if I may, Stefania, concussions are non-linear injuries.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Very true.
So yeah, while we feel good about Patrick Mahomes right now, you never know. Correct, Stefania Bell?
That's right. If he were to develop any symptoms today or tomorrow, and then we have seen that sometimes, you know, it's really, I just got to take a moment, Matthew, to say I'm so proud of
He's
you.
He's growing up, Stefania.
I mean, you know, 14 years together, and I know that you've actually listened to me a couple of times.
Listen,
thank you.
You're very welcome. Here's what I know. Concussions are non-linear injuries.
Okay, what else?
There's no designations on concussions.
Yeah, like there's no such thing as a mild concussion.
There's no mild concussion.
Yep. Right.
Her dog's name is Rico.
Yes.
That's the three things.
And that's all I got. That's all I got. 14 years, 14 years later, those are the three things I've learned about Stefania.
Honestly,
that's pretty much all I got.
That's more than I would have guessed you had. So it's not bad. All right, Stefania, let's keep things moving. And another quarterback injury, this one more significant, at least for right now, that's Jets quarterback Zach Wilson.
Yeah, you could tell when he got hit that his knee was uncomfortable, and he got up and he continued, and then he got knocked out of the game again. And later he said he was a little cryptic about it, but he said he was hoping that it wasn't the most serious thing. He said he heard and felt a pop and a twist. And I will tell you, as someone who's worked with athletes in the past, that's one of the questions we ask them. Did you hear anything? Did you feel anything? Because sometimes that will give a clue to what's going on. When athletes describe a pop, you often think of a ligament injury. He did, in fact, sprain his PCL. So we talk about the ACL all the time. PCL is the posterior cruciate, the one behind it. Adam Schefter reporting he's expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks. PCL injuries, no matter the severity, are rarely surgical. The idea is to keep the knee relatively stabilized, reinforced with a brace, and allow it to scar down and not stress the knee too much, but make sure you get the swelling down, range of motion, strength back, etc. So very reasonable that he could return to play.
Good to see it's not a more significant injury for Zach Wilson. As we know, it's not like Zach Wilson himself had been fantasy relevant. As a matter of fact, it's basically Corey Davis in the Jets offense, and Corey Davis actually caught a touchdown from Mike White yesterday, so not like his status drops that much after this news. Let's keep things rolling here, Stefania, and Philly was intending to use Miles Sanders a bunch more yesterday against the Raiders, and they were actually going that direction until he left the game.
I know, got off to a good start and really unfortunate. With an ankle injury, we don't know the details about it, assuming he's getting further evaluation today. But he ultimately was trying to get himself to the sideline, went to the ground, had to be carted to the locker room. And so we await further information on Miles Sanders.
Okay, and I'll ask you this now, Matthew. We have more of this conversation
tomorrow for sure.
During our waiver wire show.
During waiver wire show, and potentially a little bit more later on in the show as well, depending on what we have time-wise. But just quickly here, Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott kind of split time after the Miles Sanders injury yesterday. Both found the end zone. Gainwell through the air, Boston Scott on the ground. Immediate reaction, if he misses time, do you think there's a clear, like one of them is clearly above the other? Or do you think this is sort of like two guys filling the role of one person?
Yeah, I think it's two guys filling the role of one person. I think I would prefer Gainwell.
Me too, because of the passing upside.
Because of the passing upside. But yeah, I mean, like, and so maybe you see Gainwell get a little bit more, like in essence, basically Gainwell keeps his role. And then the Miles Sanders role is split between Boston Scott and Gainwell.
Well said.
Which is what I think sort of happens. But part of the problem is that, in all due respect to Boston Scott or Kenneth Gainwell, I don't think anyone thinks either one is a better running back than Miles Sanders, just on a pure NFL talent standpoint, right? And so now you're like, okay, well, like, Miles Sanders wasn't any good. I mean, I'm talking about fantasy-wise, right? I mean, just the way that offense is designed and the way they've produced so far this year, I don't know. Listen, we're so running back desperate in fantasy that both guys should make your column. Both guys should be picked up and rostered in a lot of leagues. But in terms of like the idea that like all of a sudden like one of these guys is going to be a fantasy superstar, I think it's hard to sort of see based on the usage of Miles Sanders to date.
Can I just whisper something? No one's listening, but just really quickly.
Yes.
They play the Lions next week.
Ooh.
I think Detroit wins.
Wow.
Just putting that one, filing that one away on Monday morning.
I like that call, by the way. I like that call.
Mina Kimes and I would both run through a brick freaking wall for Dan Campbell. I'll tell you that right now. I love that man.
We could probably set that up somewhere. Look, if you guys want to run through a brick wall.
It sounds like a fantasy show.
Okay, guys.
I think that's got to
happen. We'll get back on track before Daniel has a concussion just thinking about running through a brick wall.
And just for any ESPN bosses that might be listening to the show, and I think it's clear from the quality of the show that ESPN bosses don't even know we exist.
Right.
But just if anyone happens to stumble upon it on their way to like a podcast they do like Barnwell's or something, I just want to be clear that if we ever do that bit, we will make Daniel run through the brick wall well before Mina Kimes.
Yes.
Right.
We will create a Daniel-sized hole in the brick wall before we let Mina Kimes run to the brick wall. We understand who's important to the company and who is expendable.
There's no two ways about it. Sorry, Daniel.
Yeah.
It's Mina, though. Yeah, Stefania. Josh Jacobs also left that exact same game against Philadelphia. What's going on with him?
Listed with a chest injury. You never know exactly what that is. Very vague. I mean, sometimes I've seen a player listed with a chest injury when it's a rib. Sometimes it's a chest contusion. We don't know the exact nature of it. But Josh Jacobs has obviously struggled with injuries, mostly the lower extremity, toe and ankle. The good thing for the Raiders, they have a bye in week 8. So hopefully it's not too serious and he will be back the following week.
You know, look great yesterday.
Who's that?
Kenyon Drake. Looked awesome.
Yeah.
Looked awesome filling in for Josh Jacobs yesterday, Matthew. He really did. He found the end zone. He's got a rushing touchdown in 5 straight games in which he has at least 10 carries. Sounds like a good football player to me. What do you think?
Well, I will tell you this. I'll tell you this about Kenyon Drake.
Great setup.
It is.
That with a changing in the coaching philosophy for the Las Vegas Raiders, it is because they weren't using Kenyon Drake.
Correct.
They were not using Kenyon. When John Gruden was calling the plays, they were not using Kenyon Drake. Mm-hmm. And with Greg Olsen, still the offense coordinator, but now in charge of the play calling duties, Kenyon Drake's been used more the last 2 weeks. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Look, and so, yeah, I'm actually, Kenyon Drake, I think, is a viable fantasy option going forward. I will say that I don't think he is a replacement for Josh Jacobs. If we find out this chest injury to Josh Jacobs is serious, I would think that it would be Peyton Barber if he's healthy. Again, I know he's out as well.
Do you really? It's interesting.
Because
that struck me as such a Gruden thing that he loved Peyton Barber.
Right.
Meanwhile, the rest of the staff was like, do we pay Kenyon Drake $13 million to like, just
I'm
give
with
him
you.
Three? So I'm,
no,
hoping,
I'm with you. I
don't know.
Listen, Kenyon Drake, again, sort of what we were talking about with Philadelphia. My expectation is let's pretend that we know that Josh Jacobs is going to be out and we know that Peyton Barber is back. And I don't know the status of Peyton Barber as of yet.
Oh, right? He's not hurt.
Huh?
He's not hurt, Peyton Barber.
Yeah, he is.
He's got like a toe issue, I believe.
Okay, well, I assume this is healthy scratch.
Although I don't know that's the reason, but he has been
hurt.
He has been on the injury report with a toe.
I thought the reporting had been it's a healthy scratch.
Right.
He's just not really, he's banged up, but he's also like not playing because they don't need him.
Right.
They've got Jalen Richard back, Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs. Like,
I was under the understanding that Barber missed the game due to injury. But
I gotta be honest,
you might be right.
I'm looking on the internet and I see articles on both him missing the game due to an injury and him being a healthy scratch. So I think that there's probably a little bit of both information going on out there.
Okay.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right. So we're both sort of right. We're both sort of wrong. Fair enough.
Which is,
by the way, that'd be a good name for the show.
Both sort of right, both sort of wrong.
I think that's a permanent segment for you. Yeah. I'm sort of right, and I'm sort of wrong.
Right. So either way, my expectation here is that certainly I would 100% agree with you on this, is that under this new regime in Las Vegas, Ken Drake has a lot more value than he did previously.
Yeah.
And so to the extent he was dropped, I don't think he's 100% rostered in ESPN leagues.
59.7%.
That is one that I would check to see if he's available in your league. And it's one of those, like, pick him up if he is available. So I'm actually with you on Kenyon Drake now under this new regime. I was right about Kenyon Drake before. Let's be clear about that. But now with Gruden out of there, I think, yes, they'll use Drake in the right way.
Stefania, Darren Waller.
Oh, and my point, I guess, was just that I think that you'll see Drake and Barber. Drake will continue to have his role.
Right.
And then you'll also see Drake take part of Jacobs' role, and then maybe, whether it's Peyton Barber or somebody else, like, I don't think Drake gets all of Josh Jacobs' role, is my point.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's so weird. Like, I could see a world in which this sort of follows the Darrell Williams /CEH model.
That, interesting.
Like, Kenyon Drake getting a more prominent role could be more fantasy useful than Josh Jacobs when Josh Jacobs was the go-to guy in Las Vegas.
That I could see, actually, just because of his pass-catching ability.
Better pass catch.
He's not a bad runner.
He
has big playability.
I'm
with you on Kenyon. Like, I'm with you in, he just needs to be used the right way.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you like him more as a player than I do, but just evaluating the situation he finds himself in now with a new play caller and the way that offense is rolling. By the way, how about the Raiders, by the way? Like so how impressive. About, come on, right? You know, 5-2. Let's go, Raiders.
Totally, yeah.
Raiders, you know, good
Raiders.
For them.
Yeah, good very for them. Impressive. And they did so yesterday, Stefania, without Darren Waller.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a late addition. We had talked about it on Fantasy Football Now. He was listed as limited in Friday's practice report, which usually means that something happened. And we found out later from Adam Schefter's reporting that he apparently tripped over a teammate in their walkthrough. And that's what capped his reps in that Friday practice, and wasn't doing great as far as the ankle. On Saturday was downgraded to questionable. So we knew coming into Sunday there was a legit chance he might not play. They ended up ruling him out before the game. Again, the Raiders have a bye next week. So the fact that it came down to a game time decision makes you think that after a bye week, he should be back.
The good news for those who may have picked up his replacement yesterday in Foster Moreau is that he had a very Darren Waller type game. As Moreau goes for 6 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown, Matthew, he's not Darren Waller, duh. But he proved that if Darren Waller misses time beyond their bye week, that your best chance to replace him might be through his own teammate.
Yeah, Foster Moreau's a nice player, and I think that on a different team, Foster Moreau's a starting tight end in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
The problem is he happens to be on a team behind legit one of the best tight ends in the NFL. Foster Moreau's a nice player. It's one of the reasons why we talked him up on Fantasy Football Now. I didn't expect 6 for 60 and a touchdown, but I did think he would get some nice usage, and we talked about the fact that here's a guy prior to Sunday, with 32 career catches, 8 had gone for touchdowns. Just somebody who's really good and trustworthy in the red zone and in the end zone. They like him a lot there in close. And so, to your point, 6 for 60 and a touchdown. Moreau looked good. They are on a bye this week. But if Waller's injury turns out to be more serious, Moreau is very much a viable fill-in.
Keep an eye on him through the waiver wire in Tuesday into Wednesday. Perhaps worth picking up just in case Waller misses week 9. All right, Stefania, one more here on the injury front. Is Jonnu Smith for the Patriots, who was playing great out of the gates yesterday. They were actively involving him, and then he got hurt.
Shoulder injury for him. It's one of those where you can't tell the severity of it from the front end. He was originally listed as questionable, ended up not returning to the game. So, again, stay tuned. Monday is tests and further evaluation day, so hopefully we'll have more by tomorrow.
Keep an eye on that one. It meant a whole lot more of Hunter Henry, who scored for the 4th time in 4 games. We'll talk about Henry in our tight end segment in just a little bit. We'll come back and discuss whether these guys who may be balled out during Bimageddon are nothing more than a streamer. What do you want to add?
I was just going to ask one quick little injury thing to just be, it's undisclosed, but just basically at the very end of the game against the Dolphins, Mike Davis left with an undisclosed injury.
Okay.
He wasn't used very much. It was the Cordero Patterson show, but I just want to put that on people's radars as we head into the week. I think we'll learn more about how serious, if at all, Mike Davis's injury is. Okay. But he did leave the game due to injury, and I just think that's an interesting situation because the anti-Cordero Patterson argument has been, well, his usage hasn't been there. He's been so fluky, but he scored another touchdown last week, and oh, by the way, his usage went up significantly, and if Mike Davis is going to miss any time, you know, Falcons off their bye, suddenly, holy mackerel.
Cordero Patterson had 19 touches yesterday. Mike Davis had just 4. So it seems like the RB1 thing is for real in Atlanta for Cordero Patterson. We'll talk about whether some guys who played well yesterday are more than just a Bimageddon play or not. But first, do you own or rent your home, Matthew?
Sure you do.
I know you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Badlands Season 2 Sportsland is hosted by Jake Brennan, the creator and host of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. In Badlands Season 1 Hollywoodland, you heard the untold stories of Hollywood movie stars. In Badlands Season 2 Sportsland, explore the wild lives, crimes, and careers of some of the most famous athletes in the world, like Mike Tyson, Tanya Harding, Oscar Pistorius, Evel Knievel, and O.J. Simpson. You can listen to new episodes on Sportsland every Wednesday, everywhere podcasts are available, or binge the whole season now, exclusively on Amazon Music.
All right, so yesterday was the only week all year in which there were 6 teams on a bye. 8 of the 32 teams have now had their bye, but every week going forward, there are either 2, 4, or 0 teams on a bye. So Bimageddon is mostly behind us, except for one more game tonight with the Seahawks hosting.
We say goodbye to Bimageddon.
So let's go through some players and discuss whether they are just Bimageddon fill-ins or perhaps something more. We begin in Miami, Matthew, where Tua Tagovailoa passed for 291 yards.
Yeah, he did.
4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He completed over 80% of his passes, and he had 26.5 fantasy points. Now, I think this is, I mean, he was a great fill-in option last week. We talked about it going into this game.
We all liked him as a streamer. He was
good 2 weeks ago against Jacksonville.
Sure.
So I think he is actually a smart add this week, and you might be able to get yourself Tua in part because of who he plays next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Buffalo Bills, which on paper is a very difficult matchup,
even
if you think Miami will once again be getting whacked by Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
The last time they were, and granted it was Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, they didn't score any points in garbage time.
Yep.
Dude, this is for real. Now, there's a lot of conversation these days about Tua as a player. Miami is the most popularly connected team to Deshaun Watson in trade speculation.
Correct.
Over the next 8 days, we'll find out whether Deshaun Watson is traded or not. Obviously, that would change the value of Tua. But for now, Matthew, whether you agree he's a long-term answer or not for Miami in real football talk, in fantasy football, I think there's something real here for Tua.
I agree with everything you just said there, Field Yates. I really do. First off, I believe Miami is passing at the highest rate in the NFL. No team has a higher passing rate than the Miami Dolphins. And so that Tua is putting up these numbers with, with Will Fuller out, Devontae Parker out. Like, it's been a lot of Jalen Waddle, been a lot of Mike Gesicki. Mac Hollins, always been a favorite of mine. I love Mac Hollins. Mac Hollins catches a touchdown. It's not the offense they imagined in the offseason for the Dolphins and Brian Flores. I will also tell you this. I'm not going to use foghorn leghorn. I'm not going to guarantee this.
Okay.
But I feel like it is much more likely than not that Deshaun Watson is traded to the Dolphins within the next 9 days.
I disagree, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not guaranteeing it. I don't have any inside sources.
Yeah.
I feel like the Dolphins, this is pure speculation on my part. But I feel like the Dolphins, seeing everything that's going on, Watson has a trade. It's up to Watson, right? I mean, Watson has a
no trade clause
in his contract, so Watson can sort of dictate where he goes. He wants to go to Miami. Those are all the reports. And I think Miami probably saw this game and has seen what's going on and just say, you know what, just do it. That's a guess.
Right.
That's a guess. I mean, who knows? There's a lot to unpack in terms of that. And but for our purposes here in terms of fantasy football, I agree with you. As long as Tua Tagovailoa is the starting quarterback of the Dolphins, he has borderline QB1 streamer appeal. Yes, he does.
And especially in a couple of weeks down the line that are very, very appealing. How about this? In
Houston, Ravens, Jets. The next four are Bills, Texans, Ravens, Jets. You feel good about him against the Texans and the Jets, obviously.
And the Ravens. Why wouldn't you?
And the Ravens.
Allowed 400 passing yards three times this year.
That's a fair point.
You feel good about this.
That's a fair point. And Buffalo, I mean, you know, listen, Tannehill got going against them. Buffalo's got a very good defense, but could there be some junk time for Tua? Certainly.
Let's move forward to Matt Ryan, who had 336 passing yards, two touchdowns, and an interception yesterday. Good for 17.4 fantasy points. Nothing crazy, Matthew, but he now has at least two touchdown passes in five straight games. Kind of like a traditional Matt Ryan season so far in some ways, right? Like, I'm sure there have been, I know there have been years with more upside week in and week out, but a high floor this week. Mike Clay actually had him in his DFS lineup yesterday on Fantasy Football Now because Matt Ryan, like, if you're looking for 15 points from your quarterback in your bye week, few guys that are available, as many leagues as Matt Ryan is, are a better bet for 15-plus fantasy points.
Matt Ryan, and I remember when we used to use this as a negative.
Right.
But we'd say, like, Matt Ryan, you know what Matt Ryan is? Matt Ryan is 300 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception.
Right.
That's what he is, like, every single week in the bank. And we used to use it as a negative just because there was literally no rushing upside. But to your point, Field, in a world in which you need a guy to get you 300 yards, two touchdowns, interception, which, by the way, what he did yesterday, basically, right? He did like 366.
336.
336. Two touchdowns and an interception.
Yeah.
That's what Matt Ryan did. And and so
volume's really good.
Volume's
35 plus passes in every game this year.
Volume's really, really good. We mentioned briefly at the top of the show the Mike Davis injury. We'll see if that, but both running backs are decent, adept at pass catching. I was going to say adaptable, and I'm like, that's not a word. And that's what was going on in my head. Like, don't say adaptable. That's not a word. What is the word? Adapt? No, adapt's not. That's not. So anyway, just the crazy in terms of what's going on up here. But so they both are adept at catching passes. And by the way, oh my God, it took a couple of games, but Kyle Pitts.
Yes.
Thank the good Lord.
Oh my God. Like, Kyle Pitts is like, yep, oh, that's the guy that went fourth overall in the draft. Yep,
it's
that's
so
the
fun
guy
to watch.
That is just
so
like,
fun
that's.
To watch.
That's awesome.
He's so
anyway,
fun to watch, yeah.
He is. So he's great. So anyway, getting Calvin Ridley back, the emergence of Kyle Pitts, feels like they're settling into Arthur Smith's offense here. The defense hasn't stepped up in a way that you would hope it to be. So you look at their upcoming schedule here, Carolina, New Orleans, Cowboys, Patriots. None of them really scare you. You don't love the Patriots, but that is a home game that's in the dome in Atlanta.
I don't like New Orleans either.
Really?
They kind of own him. They're in his head.
they do a little bit. I just feel like because that's in a dome, I feel like that's a junk time game. But yeah, I mean, fair.
No, but I feel like New Orleans doesn't like blow teams out, right? Like it just makes
me.
Little, but I do like Carolina. I can live with Dallas as well. Like New England potentially. I think that's a Thursday night game. So
interesting
matchup
anyway,
there for Matt Ryan.
Matt
the
Ryan,
point stands,
you
though,
could
right?
do worse. Yeah, you could certainly... and probably have done worse than Matt Ryan.
Let's move forward here to D'Ernest Johnson, Matthew. What a great story this is. And I know you
great
guys
story.
Talked about him on the show on Friday, but a guy who ran for 168 yards, 24.8 fantasy points on Thursday Night Football. We do not know, unless Stefania is going to correct me here, anything about the status for Nick Chubb for Week 8 as of yet.
I will say that Kevin Stefanski made it sound like he was hopeful that Chubb would return this week.
Okay.
So that is at least a possibility.
At least a possibility. That's good news there. But still, Matthew, it's a great story no matter whether it's 1 week or not. And probably a good reminder that having insurance policies at running back is not the worst thing to do with your roster.
And by the way, even if Nick, now they play Pittsburgh this week, so it's obviously it's not a great matchup to begin with,
Alex
right?
Alex Collins got the best of them.
I agree. And what I was going to say is I would argue that even if Nick Chubb is active and playing, D'Ernest Johnson still has Kareem Hunt level value. I think he will take basically Kareem Hunt's role.
Interesting.
Like, he's a nice pass catching running back. Like, I don't think, especially in his first game back, that they're going to want Nick Chubb to have all the work. Kareem Hunt has been very effective even when Nick Chubb's been getting a lot of work.
Right.
I'll certainly have, if Nick Chubb is active for this game, I'll obviously have him ranked higher.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think D'Ernest Johnson has no value? I don't. Like, that's a team that wants to run.
Sure, yeah.
Like, especially, by the way, we don't know the status of Baker. Like, if Baker's coming back. Like, and I thought Case Keenum played well on that Thursday night game. I thought he was, you know, he was capable. He was Case Keenum.
Yeah.
He was solid. But that team, the way the Browns win this year, and they know this, is they run the ball and they play good defense.
Yeah.
That's what they did to Denver. That's what they're going to do. Especially, by the way, if Baker's, even if Baker starts, Baker's less than 100%. They're getting nothing out of OBJ. Like, that team needs to run the ball and play good defense. I think both guys will get usage.
The only thing I disagree with is that I think that, so if you say he has basically like Kareem Hunt type value, you'd probably have him inside your top 20 rankings if Nick Chubb plays.
Top 25.
I think I'll be lower than that, but I do think there's a chance that even if Nick Chubb is back, he still plays, I don't know, 20 or 25 snaps. You want to be careful with those calf injuries for a running back, especially.
I just think he ran so well.
He did, yeah.
Give the guy credit. Like, it was
course,
like
yeah,
he got a lot more than was blocked.
Yep, he was good.
He made
was
plays.
Really good.
And I just don't think, especially for Stefanski, who's like you don't ball out like that on the field and then immediately go back to the bench. Stefanski isn't that kind of a coach. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, in terms of the locker room, that guy earned more playing time.
Give me 1 second here. I think the other thing is, if you look at what was going on with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, one of the concerns that Stefanski had was that they would end up overworking Kareem Hunt, and he was already beaten up, and then he ends up with the calf injury. Even if Nick Chubb does return, it feels, to your point, the calf injuries are tricky. The first time back, you want to be careful with them and not overdo it. I still think there's going to be a role for D'Ernest Johnson, and probably more that split. Kareem Hunt is probably not coming back for several more weeks.
Okay, yeah, he obviously is on IR for right now, so at least 2 more games missed for Kareem Hunt. Devontae Booker this year reminds me of Mike Davis last year. Hopefully he's not playing as much as Mike Davis did last year, and not because I don't love Mike Davis, but because that would mean that Saquon Barkley is out for a long, long time, as Christian McCaffrey was last year. But you're not getting quite Saquon Barkley upside, but you're getting more than enough. I mean, he has back-to-back-to-back games of double-digit fantasy points, Matthew. He's catching the ball, and he found the end zone again yesterday. He has been solid for the Giants. He is clearly the workhorse back until Saquon returns.
No question about it. And I think if he doesn't get vultured 2 weeks ago by Elijah Penny, then I think maybe the narrative of him is a little bit different. But scored this week, probably should have scored last week. He's getting a decent amount
twice
of work.
Yesterday.
I know. I'm so bitter. You and I were so...
just laughing at it. Just like, what the heck, man?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Man,
but
Giants.
Giants.
But great win for them. Yeah,
but anyway, yeah, listen, great win for them. And yeah, frustrating that Booker got stopped twice on the goal line. Just got no blocking down there at all.
At least Dante Pettis got in the end zone, though.
Oh, wow. Just a dagger to Fields' heart.
Well, is it more to mine or yours?
It's to both of ours. Okay. So
I do watch Fantasy Football Now in the morning, just so you guys are aware.
So Fantasy Football Now, every single week, Adam Schefter and I do this segment called Long Shots, where we each have to pick a player who is rostered in under 20% of ESPN leagues that we are picking to sort of go off. And whoever's player has the higher score the week before gets first pick. This week, we ended up both picking Rashad Bateman, but because I had beaten Schefter the week before, I, quote, got Bateman. So Schefter's pick was Dante Pettis, and Schefter said on the air, I actually wanted Bateman. I concede the loss to you. Bateman's going to be awesome. And Bateman was awesome, you know, had 80 yards. But Dante Pettis got into the end zone and had the better fantasy day. So Schefter wins the long shot week. He'll get first pick next week on Fantasy Football Now. Both ended up paying off. But that's why it's a dagger to me. But it's kind of a dagger to Field Yates, who Field's war room team, the Irish Twins, in a heated battle with Schefter. And Schefter was so beaten up by byes this week that he had to start in a 16-team league. He had to start Dante Pettis.
Are you serious?
He started Dante Pettis, Danny Amendola.
Gio Bernard.
Like, it was like the waiver. Schefter's team yesterday was like the waiver wire.
Did he beat you guys?
Wait,
We'll find out. Let me ask you this. Quick poll to the masses. Would you rather be down 18 points with DeKalen Zacharias Metcalf left tonight, or would you rather be Adam Schefter? You know what? That's not fair, because of course you'd rather be Adam Schefter than me. Of course you would be.
14 points.
18 points.
18 points with DK Metcalf left.
Thirsty Kyle, throw this out on the...
But they're getting part of that monsoon, you know, that atmospheric
river. Not supposed to be as bad, but...
But
plus DK, I mean, Deebo Samuel had 7 for 100 last night.
Yeah, that's the thing. The thing is, like, in a monsoon type atmosphere there. When you think about somebody like DK Metcalf,
but is Geno,
he gets a quick pat. That's the kind of guy that can take it to the house. Like, you can't tackle him in the rain.
By the way, yeah. Geno Smith, I'm not sure he's that much worse than Jimmy G right now, Stefania. Yeah.
No, I meant I wasn't comparing him to that. Oh, defensive field. Yeah, I was talking about versus Russell Wilson to DK
that's
Metcalf.
Fair. That's
it was
fair.
That
would
was
I feel
difference.
Much better about but it. But
that's
you know.
A that's a good poll. Who wins? You know,
no, not who wins. Who'd rather be?
Who would you rather be?
Would you rather be like up 18, or up 18 and done, or have DK Metcalf tonight?
Right, but don't include the part that Schefter is done because he'll get all the votes.
He will all get.
Who
all
would
votes.
Rather be me or Schefter? Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, don't make it, because then that gets into the personalities. I don't want to do
just
that.
Do the situation.
I'm just saying,
we would
like,
all clearly rather be Adam Schefter than Field Jason. No one correct. Wants to be Field.
Oh, yeah, because Field doesn't have the perfect life.
Yeah.
Please. I want to be Field.
Yeah, I want to be Field. Look at me.
Field.
Look at me
I
over
know
here.
You want to be
Field. We can trade salaries for a month. Get back to me after that. All right, next fair one. Enough. Moving on.
Honestly, I'll tell you what. I will trade you salaries. I will trade you salaries, but I also get 20 years off my life. We switch ages.
Oh, no,
dude.
It's like
ages.
Picture of Dorian Gray going here.
I have some of my hair as well.
Yeah. Wow.
Hunter Renfro. Hunter Renfro.
Because I'm like what? I'm like 18 years older than you or something like that?
I'm 34.
So I am 17 years older than you. I'm 51.
Can we fact check that? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I didn't know you were only 34. I thought you were older than that.
Oh, thank you, Daniel.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I thought you were younger. I thought you were 32.
Huh. I thought you were 6 foot.
Okay, this is all very awkward.
Stefania does not want to get into the age conversation.
Yeah. All right,
but anyway, stupid Dante Pettis gets into the end zone. Ridiculous.
Sorry, guys. This is my fault. I'll take that.
Let's move forward here. All right, let's keep going. A couple more players that filled in during Bimageddon. And this one should not be just a Bimageddon fill-in. His
totally
name is
agree.
Hunter Renfro. He had 7 catches, 58 yards yesterday. He's got at least 10 fantasy points in all but one game this season. The guy is catching basically 5 passes a game, Matthew. The Raiders are throwing it a ton. Derek Carr is so accurate. I'm not saying you're going to get 25 points maybe ever from Hunter Renfro this season, but if you're looking for 10 or 12, which is exactly what a bye week fill-in is, or even just a bench flex play, like, grab Hunter Renfro, man.
At least 8 targets in 3 of the last 4 games for Hunter Renfro, and he is the perfect floor player.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like he,
he's a new Mohamed
I agree
Sanu.
With you. There's he Mohamed Sanu, I was going to say Edelman on some level. Amendola back in the day.
Yeah, Edelman was special, man. Like
Edelman had some special seasons, but
no
there
doubt.
Were, you
no
know,
doubt.
But anyway, but he's a really good floor player.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. By the way, just a good NFL player.
Yeah, he's
Hunter
a good
Renfro's just a really good NFL player.
Good player. All right, let's one more here, and that's Christian Kirk, who now has at least 50 receiving yards in all but 2 games this season. 4 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown yesterday. 15 fantasy points. 4 games this year out of 7 with at least 15 fantasy points. Matthew, I think the calculus is pretty simple here, though, right? Is that, like, he's a good player. I'll get you in a second.
Yeah.
He plays with the best offense in football right now, statistically.
Sure.
A great quarterback who might be the MVP frontrunner for those who are interested in taking stock of such things in week 8 of the season. He's going to have probably, I don't know, 10 games this year with at least 12 or 15 fantasy points, maybe 8 games with 15 fantasy points this season. He's also going to have 8 where he could have like 4.5. He's right. Got to guess. And it's not like good matchups, bad matchups. Like he had one dud this year against the Rams, but like when you're facing the Cardinals, it's not Jalen Ramsey versus Christian Kirk. It's Jalen Ramsey versus DeAndre Hopkins. Like, They played great that game, too. Like, it was just a bad day at the office for reasons that go beyond reasonable explanations. Like, I think he's a little bit of a hit or miss, but if you're looking for the chance at 15 or 20 fantasy points, he's got a pretty decent chance. 50-50 chance, maybe.
Daniel, the floor recognizes you.
I think that he is not more than a Bimageddon play for me. And here's why. There are so many mouths to feed in that offense that kind of like what you're saying, Field. The whole point is, yes, he's going to have some of those weeks. I have no idea when they're going to be.
I mean, to that point, Daniel, literally on the air yesterday on Fantasy Football Now, Field asked me which non-Hopkins Cardinals pass catcher would I want. And I chose Rondale Moore, who, by the way, was like the only pass catcher that didn't do anything yesterday.
Yes, exactly.
So are we going to run the tape of that one to start tomorrow's
I'm owning
show?
It, though. Listen, if I start the show bragging about my – I'm going to own it. Like, you know, I guaranteed a touchdown for James Conner. But, you know, ask point blank. And I said Rondale Moore, I just felt like he was due. But I had the same argument. I said, here's the thing. any one of them could go off, any one of them could have a dud. I'm going to pick Rondell Moore just because I think it's been a little while and I think they could manufacture some touches for him. Feels like they got to get him going. Ended up him not getting going. Zach Ertz gets a touchdown. You know, obviously Christian Kirk has the game. DeAndre Hopkins, like all the Cardinals had big games here.
AJ Green is out there. Chase Edmonds is catching passes. There's so many guys.
But here, to your point, Daniel, what I would say is if you roster Christian Kirk or AJ Green or even Rondell Moore or either the running backs, if you, and obviously you're doing this with Hopkins, you are starting them and not worrying about it. You don't look at the matchups. You don't do anything. If you're riding the Christian Kirk train, that's what you got to do. Same with AJ Green. Same with any of those guys, because there will be weeks where they go off and weeks when they don't. And trying to guess will drive yourself crazy. It's like Miles Gaskin. So you just got to be like, you know what? I'm putting them in. I'm closing my eyes, and I'm hoping by the end of the year it'll be positive more weeks than it's negative. But yeah, it's just there's no rhyme or reason. So I agree with Field in the sense that I think he's viable post Bimageddon. But I also agree with you, Daniel, that trying to predict what good weeks will happen is impossible given the amount of mouths to feed in that offense. So I'm just saying that if you end up rostering one of those guys, start them, don't look at it, and you're keeping them in except when they're on a bye.
I think what you're trying to tell us is that sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. Yeah. As we discussed, one of the themes
sometimes
of our
right,
show today.
Wrong.
Yes.
When That's you right. play Christian Kirk, sometimes you're right, sometimes
sort of
you're
right.
wrong.
You sort go. Of wrong.
We will discuss tight ends who performed well during National Tight Ends Day in a minute, but first, support for this podcast and the following message comes from Supercuts. Hair, it has a way of growing back faster than we want it to.
Nah, I don't know about
slower,
that.
And sometimes it can feel like we need more haircuts than we have time for.
I wish.
Luckily, Supercuts is here to make grabbing a haircut easy. Supercuts is here for you if you're someone who needs a haircut, but doesn't think they have time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons with availability. You can use the Supercuts app to find the location nearest to you and check in, or just walk in. Another bonus, the salon shows estimated wait time so you know exactly what you're in for. As for the cut itself, it's always super solid thanks to Supercut's highly trained stylist. Get in, get out, and get to that thing you need a haircut for. Whether you've got a first date or a vacation coming up or you just want to look good, Supercut's makes getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercut's. Check in now on the Supercut's app or on supercuts.com.
Been a great start to the NFL season, and it only gets better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Get in on the action now. It's really simple. Just pick your lineup, stand or the salary cap, and you see how your team stacks up against the competition. View the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings app now. Use the code FFF. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter code FFF to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code FFF, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Guys, I want to ask one really quick question. If you were up by 1.3 points going into Monday Night Football,
yes, play your guy,
and you've got the New Orleans Saints defense,
play him,
and you want to do the classic overthinking, you just play them anyways and you don't pull them out worrying about a negative, you're always playing a defense?
Not
spirit
always.
Of the game.
Huh?
I think it's the spirit of the game.
Yeah, and I also say that 1.3 is a little too close for my... I mean, again, there can always be a
stat correction. That's what I'm worried
like
about.
Yeah. I think I would rather bet on the Saints defense going against Geno Smith than a stat correction. I think my guess is you win either way.
Yeah.
But I also agree with Field on that, you know, there's a little bit of, like, you know, spirit of the game. Having said all that, I mean, the spirit of the game is to win, right? A win within the rules, and the rule says you don't have to start a defense. I will say this, I hate the idea. In general, I don't like playing with kickers and defenses, just period. But if I do play with defenses, I don't like negative points. Defenses that get you negative points. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it should be, you know, zero is the worst you can do.
Right. If that's the case, though, I do feel like you should have a bigger weight advantage than just 10 points to begin. Like, it's so easy to like, yep. Hey, 10 points, and like, you can have a shutout and... like one sack, like a shout out with one sack gets you 11 fantasy points. Like a shout out's really hard to do. Anyways, let's move forward to National Tight End Day. And National Tight End Day is brought to you by Geico. Want to know what's really scary?
Yep.
Seeing just how much you could have been saving by switching to Geico. Visit geico.com and see if saving money is in your future. Happy Geico-ween.
By the way, very quickly, Scott Petrick, who's the Browns writer for the Chronicle-Telegram, he's on Twitter, at Scott Petrick, just tweets that Nick Chubb returned to practice today.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you have it. Good news there for Nick Chubb. We'll see what that means for his availability in Week 8, and we'll break it down all week. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to rip through a bunch of tight ends from yesterday who had notable performances and decide whether they are a starter or a streamer, or I suppose even like a non, like just a non-playable tight end going forward.
By streamer, what you mean is like it was like a one-week thing, right?
Correct.
As opposed like, to this is somebody that you can write. I mean, I'm trying to think of like how, what does that mean for people?
Yeah, are any of these guys that you would start in 10 or 12 team leagues? And if not, are they tight ends that you're probably just looking at streaming based on matchups more than anything else?
Yep. Fair enough. Got it. Yes, it was National Tight End yesterday. LeBron James tweeted out National Tight End Day to everyone.
All right, so let's get into it. CJ Uzomah for the Bengals had 3 catches for 91 yards and 2 touchdowns, 24.1 fantasy points. One of the best days for any player yesterday in fantasy, Matthew. I'm going to call him a streamer here. What do you think?
I would agree with that. He's had under 20 yards 4 different times this year. Like the touchdowns against Jacksonville were sort of broken plays. One of the big touchdowns was kind of a broken play as well. Obviously, it can happen, but I think he's much more of a streamer. Doesn't feel like, when you think about all the mouths to feed in Cincinnati, doesn't feel like he's, you know, going to get consistent work.
Happy for him. Good in the red zone, but he's got 1 game this year and 7 tries with more than 3 targets. He is a streamer only. Dallas Goedert yesterday in the first game without Zach Ertz. 3 catches, 5 targets, 70 yards. Good for 12 fantasy points, Matthew. You know, he's yet to see more than 5 targets in a game this year, but I'm going to say a starter, right? I think better days are ahead. I think that he's going to be more and more involved. Is this part of the reason for his inefficiency is that the offense right now, which is kind of a mess.
A little bit of a mess here. Jalen Hurts struggling as a real-life NFL quarterback, sort of like what we were talking about with Tua Tagovailoa. I think the jury is still out on Jalen Hurts as an NFL starter. As a fantasy quarterback, though, he remains to be great. And with no Zach Ertz there and so I think Goddard will continue to get a lot more work. I agree with you. I think he's a starter. He's a talented player, by the way.
Speaking of Zach Ertz, by the way, he yesterday in his Cardinals debut had 3 catches on 5 targets for 66 yards and a touchdown. Starter or streamer, Matthew?
I'm going to say he's a starter.
Yeah, I agree.
Just given the depth of the position, which is not particularly good, and as we just sort of talked about with Christian Kirk, he's a viable tight end and a really good offense. You're just starting him and not thinking about it.
Touchdown upside. He, by the way, nearly had another touchdown yesterday on this little reverse. He fumbled the ball after he was down, so it could have been a disaster at the goal line. But still, it's good to see that. I think Arizona, when they made that trade, also said to itself, let's get this guy involved. Like, let's utilize Zach Ertz. We didn't just trade for him to create headlines. Robert Tonyan yesterday had 4 catches, 63 yards, and a touchdown, Matthew. Good for 16.3 fantasy points. I'm going to say streamer here.
You know,
it just hasn't happened so far this season. It's a second touchdown this year after, 11 last year. One of the best tight ends in football last year. He was held to 3 or fewer fantasy points in each of the 4 games prior to yesterday. He plays on a great offense, but it feels pretty clear. It's Devontae Adams. It's Aaron Jones. It's A.J. Dillon. It's Alan Lazard yesterday. It's Randall Cobb on occasion. There are so many other mouths to feed ahead of him that occasionally it'll work out, but for the most part, it's going
to
be probably
he's not
going
to get to play Washington every week.
Much is true.
No, exactly.
How about Washington? Rookie Seals Jones. This one, obvious, right?
He's a starter.
He's a starter. He's a starter until Logan Thomas comes back.
I agree. He's been playing literally every single snap. Up over 10 fantasy points again yesterday as he had 11.1 fantasy points, 6 catches, 51 yards. Touchdowns are going to be hard to come by because they're not scoring very many touchdowns these days. But if you're looking for 5 to 7 targets per game from your tight end, Rikky Seals-Jones fits the bill.
Hey, Field,
they're not scoring many touchdowns, but those that they are aren't always getting counted either.
I was watching Fantasy Football
Now
ridiculous. Yesterday morning, and I had Darren Waller in the league that we just talked about, where I'm up by 1.3.
Yeah.
And with him being out, you guys said, you know what you should do if he's out? You should run and see. I can't believe Rikky Seals-Jones isn't rostered in more leagues. Went out and picked up Rikky Seals-Jones, and that's what got me the 1.3 lead. So I definitely agree he is a starter.
Well,
Washington football team. So thank you to the Fantasy Football Now every Sunday morning. I always sit there and watch it with you guys. It's
fun. We appreciate that. Yeah. By the way, I mean, listen, you know, I like to bag on Washington. You know, they drive me crazy, but I will say they got jobbed. They scored a lot of touchdowns that didn't count. they got jobbed a couple of different times at the goal
Heineke
line.
Himself, yeah, that was
Heineke himself, like saying that he gave him. He didn't give himself up. He was. I understand. He was. He wasn't giving himself up to avoid tackle. He was giving himself up to get into the end zone. Like it's a different interpretation. I disagree with that. And then he recovered the fumble. He wasn't down. Like they called him down, but he didn't have possession. And then he recovers the fumble, gets in the end zone. They also don't call it a touchdown. Like ridiculous.
So
the whole thing's stupid.
Next one on National Tight End Day is Hunter Henry. I think we're both going to say starter, but this could be close, actually, Matthew. So starter, you agree?
Only because of the position and Jonnu Smith banged up, yes.
Right, so I think that's part of the logic. He has a touchdown in four straight games.
Yeah, they're looking
He's really good in the red zone. There's a trust between he and Mac Jones. That much is evidence. Mac Jones is certainly playing better by the week. Looks like a really good player for the Patriots. However, he has no more than five targets in three of his past four games, and he has under 45 receiving yards in six of seven games this year. So the major, major upside for Hunter Henry hasn't been tapped into. There is a revenge game this week, though, Matthew.
Oh, yeah.
Revenge game. He goes back to Los Angeles to play the Chargers, which, you know, they franchise tagged him last year, so I can't imagine there's too much ill will, right? But they had an opportunity to bring him back in free agency this year and did not. So he ends up with a nice landing spot with the Patriots.
We think the ghost of Jared Cook is better than you, Hunter Henry. Wow. Go away.
Yeah, wow. Well, Cook's been pretty good for them so far. Last one here is Mo Alie-Cox, Matthew. I got to figure you're going to put him in the streaming category, right?
Yes.
Streaming category, God bless you, for Mo Alie-Cox, who had three catches for 25 yards and a touchdown last night. Yes, he has four touchdowns in his past four games, but has not had more than five targets in the game this year, has not had more than 50 receiving yards in a game this year. He competes with Jack Doyle for snaps. He's a streaming option.
I think Matthew's allergic to putting Mo Alie-Cox in the streamer column.
I love Mo Alie-Cox. I have a weird obsession with Mo Alie-Cox. I wish they would use him more. I don't understand why they do not. He feels like he's such a weapon. He's such a matchup nightmare. But I agree with you. Until the usage gets better, it's too hard to predict. He doesn't get nearly enough targets. He doesn't run nearly enough routes. He's a streamer.
Let's talk about the Chiefs for a second here. It's time for a game of patience or panic. And I got to imagine that there are probably all sorts of shows on our network that are discussing this exact question just as it pertains to real football.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are now 3-4. They are tied for the Broncos in the bottom of the AFC West. Let's talk fantasy, though, Matthew. Tyreek Hill yesterday, 6 catches, 49 yards, 18 rushing yards, 12.7 fantasy points. So we know that the ceiling of Tyreek Hill is the best wide receiver in any week because he was the best wide receiver back in week 4 when he had 3 touchdowns against Philly. The problem is you're counting on him to score almost any week, and he has scored just 2 other touchdowns in the 6 games besides that. I mean, listen, Matthew, I'm not super, super nervous here. There's nothing you can do about this per se, right? You're not benching Tyreek Hill. You probably can't get what you're looking for in terms of value. But do you believe for the rest of the season that he could be more of like, let's call it a top 8 receiver as opposed to a top 2 receiver?
He's been a little more boom or bust this year than we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and what's weird is that in terms of the kind of player he is, he profiles as a boom or bust guy. Super fast, big plays, you know, I mean, like, DeSean Jackson's always sort of the great prototype for it. Now, he's a lot more talented than DeSean Jackson, and he plays on a much better offense, and for a coach that uses him in a lot of creative ways. You know, what we haven't seen at Tyreek Hill this year, which we have normally, is like, you know, the Chiefs will score, and they'll get down to the 5-yard line, and here comes a jet sweep, and they just like, you know, like a little touch pass to Tyreek Hill, and like he scores on that. You know, it just feels like they haven't been creative with Tyreek Hill the way that they have in years past.
Or that teams are working really hard right now to cut down on those big plays down the field.
That's also true as well. But I think for the purposes of fantasy management, the upside of Tyreek Hill is so much greater than almost anyone else you could get. I'm just trying to think, like, who would you trade? Let's pretend you have Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a fantasy football team here with every player in the universe on it.
If I have Tyreek Hill and I want to get your Jamar Chase.
Pick one player on my roster, and I have every player in the NFL on my roster.
Yeah.
Who would you trade me for Tyreek Hill?
If I give you Jamar Chase? Yeah, I'd probably do that. I mean, I would think about it at least. Wouldn't you?
Right, sure. Yeah.
You kind of have to at this point.
But like, or Cooper Kupp.
Definitely Cooper Kupp. Right. Not even close.
Right.
Right.
But like, that's what we're talking. I mean, like, Cooper Kupp's the person who has Cooper Kupp in your league, the person who has Jamar Chase in your league, probably isn't doing that deal. So now you're into the Well, what about Stephon Diggs?
Yeah,
who's
no,
also had a bit of a slow start compared to where he was drafted.
Let's just play the
or AJ Brown, who started to come on the last couple of games. Maybe
I think I'd still prefer Tyreek Hill to AJ Brown, but like
I agree.
Let's just say I don't know who has Tyreek Hill in our War Room league, but you do have Ja'Marr Chase. If someone offered you Tyreek Hill for Ja'Marr Chase right now, would you do it?
Probably not. I'd have to really think about it, though.
Which, by the way, that I think is much more about Ja'Marr Chase than it is Tyreek Hill right now. Like, we could do a whole podcast on Ja'Marr Chase, but yeah. Nothing you can really do, Matthew.
You know what? And part of that, though, I'll just be candid with you. Part of that's emotional.
Of course.
Right? It sounds dumb, but it's just like, not that I discovered Ja'Marr Chase, the best wide receiver prospect in 15 years. But
people are saying that.
Yeah, other people are saying it. Other people out there are saying, no, listen, obviously, but there is a sense of pride and, you know, like, right. You got him late and like you ignored the ADP and all that. You ignored the drops in the preseason. And so there's this real sense of pride, you know, and fun of having, you know, that you managed to get such an amazing bargain. Makes up for me also drafting Robbie Anderson, who's, you know, a disaster.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's just put a circle. I got a pin in this.
But my point is that, like, other than maybe those two guys, I don't know that you're getting anyone.
So I hear you from that standpoint, and I want to ask it from this standpoint, right? We understand, and I think Travis Kelce needs to be a part of this conversation too, because even though Travis Kelce is tight end one, and he's definitely tight end one, it's just been disappointing based on what your expectations for Travis Kelce have been, right?
Well, here's where I think
I haven't asked the question yet, Matthew. Hold on. So as a part of this, I thought it was a shot at both of you guys, right?
Yeah, it was. I'm just sitting here quietly listening to the question.
Buckshot right there. All right, so the question is, a one-for-one likely doesn't make sense based on how they've been playing, but if you are banged up or you are hurt, the idea of being able to make this a two-for-one deal for you, as much as I don't like the idea of two-for-ones, do you think that maybe, hey, I'll trade Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce for this wide receiver two and this running back two or this whatever? Or do you think that the Chiefs are going to be good enough that it's like, you know what? No, just don't. Just stop. You're overthinking. Just hold on to the Chiefs.
Right. So you want to go first?
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say that I actually have Travis Kelce in the War Room League, right? So, I mean, again, it's a 16-team league. But I'm like, has Travis Kelce returned the kind of production that I wanted him to, kind of the elite? No, but when you sit there and think about the argument for drafting Travis Kelce in the first round was he's going to provide more value than all the other tight ends, and there's going to be a bigger difference between him and the rest than there are at any other positions. And while that gap is narrowed, George Kittle's been a disaster this year. Darren Waller just got hurt. Mark Andrews has come on, but he's had some clunkers in there as well. So is TJ Hockenson. Kyle Pitts is starting to come on, but he hasn't there. Logan Thomas got hurt. You know what I mean? Are you trading him for Dalton Schultz? Dawson Knox is banged up as well. Like start going down the list of tight ends, and you're like, I'd rather, because at least there's a floor. Again, is it as great a floor as it has been in previous years? No, but he's still the number one tight end. And if we drafted today for the rest of the season, he'd still be the number one tight end off the board for me.
Yeah. At least six catches in 6 of 7 games this year, though. It's not even close. He's clearly tight end one for the rest of the season. I think where it gets interesting, though, is that in previous years, you probably are rebuking any offer for, let's say you were presented with, I have Travis Kelce, and you come to me and say, hey, I have like tight end 8 to 12 plus a top 15 wide receiver. And in the period, you'd be like, no way, not a chance. But let's say somebody came back to you with Dawson Knox, who you used to have in the War Room League, and they're like, hey, Dawson Knox plus a really good wide receiver one, you might think about it this year.
Dawson Knox is hurt, but here you go. Here's one.
I know. I'm just, if you want to.
But here's one who's like a top 10-ish wide receiver. All right. Dallas Goedert plus Justin Jefferson.
That's interesting, right?
For Kelce.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
What about Mike Gesicki? Would you consider him in a Travis Kelce?
Can we have 2 minutes on Mike Gesicki here for a second? This is great. This is great because I'm happy we're talking about this. Mike Gesicki's been unbelievable the past couple. He's been ridiculously good. And it is very clear that for fantasy football, he is listed on our ESPN app as a tight end. It is also very clear that Mike Gesicki is not a tight end.
Not at all.
He's not a tight end at all. He is a wide receiver who is designated as a tight end in fantasy football. The way he plays is not like a tight end. The catches he makes, not like a tight end. He may be tall, but he is not built like a, you know, I mean, he is not burly like a, you know, some of these tight ends. The guy is an unbelievable, like, that's a fascinating one to me. And by the way, he's going to be a free agent this offseason.
Right.
He deserves to get paid like a wide receiver.
He does. And we'll see. That'll be interesting. Like, that's going to be it's the old Jimmy Graham thing.
That's
remember?
Right. Yeah, and he's more Jimmy Graham than Jimmy Graham thought Jimmy Graham was back during that argument.
I agree.
Wow. All right, let's talk about Let's wrap this up and talk real quickly about Monday Night Football before we have to get out of here. Is there anything you guys are looking at for tonight's game?
Stephon, DK Metcalf to get 18.5 fantasy points.
Thank you.
I'm rooting for you, brother.
No, you kind of need me to win, so you of course want me to win. Yeah. Stephon, I'll just ask quickly, just a reminder in terms of the health status of Alex Collins, as Pete Carroll clarified where he thinks he'll be at. I think it was Friday when he made his comments.
Yeah, he was early into the weekend. Pete Carroll was very confident about Alex Collins' status, so he's good to go.
Okay, good to go.
Expected tonight. To start.
That's so, good. I mean, I think in terms of what to look for tonight, I think the running game of the Seahawks, there's a couple things for me. First off, the running game of the Seahawks.
Yep.
Alex Collins' health, how much, if at all, is Rashad Penny? He's off the IR. How much has he used now that there's an opportunity here? And you've also got Travis Homer and DJ Dallas. So, what's the pecking order? Is it a committee? Does Alex Collins get the majority of work the way he did against the Steelers? So, that's interesting to me. Also, game two, another game. Game two of Geno Smith starting quarterback of the Seahawks. Does he get better? Better connection with DK Metcalf? Better connection with Tyler Lockett? Because he feels like he has a little bit of a connection with Metcalf. He hasn't really been on the same page with Lockett through a game and a half or whatever it was. He came in.
I think it's easier just to have a connection with a guy that's like DK Metcalf.
It somewhere near DK Metcalf and he's going to come down with it. Right.
I think the world of Geno Smith personally, great guy. He's battled through some stuff. He's persisted. And I think that he thinks enough of DK Metcalf to score 18.2 fantasy
points.
I'm not asking for too much. I'm not asking for 28.
Come on, Gino.
I was saying 18.5. I wanted to give you a cushion.
Okay, 18.5. Good enough. That sounds great. You want 19? Yeah. I'll take 19 as well. I'm not asking for much in this life, but 19 fantasy points would be wonderful. We cannot wait for this game tonight, in part because Matt Hasselbeck, our friend, will be inducted into the Seahawks Ring of Honor. Incredibly well-deserved. Matt Hasselbeck, one of the fine, fine people you will ever come across in your life. A man who's got more integrity in his pinky than most do in their entire body. Congratulations. He's a great guy.
He was a great quarterback. He was a great quarterback for the Seahawks. A well-deserved honor. We love Matt here at the company. So thrilled for him and his entire family. It's really well-deserved.
Enjoy the game tonight. Of course, you can watch it.
Before you
ESPN.
Sign off, I'd like to request some points tonight.
Sure, what do you got, Starfanya Bell?
I need 13 points, 13.1 fantasy points from Alex Collins to win in the war room.
And Stefania's playing Mort. So,
two-game win streak on the line for Stefania here.
So, exactly. So, big. I won. I'm already good.
Your humility is so inspiring. All right, we got to go. We're coming back tomorrow to discuss waiver wires, plus Alex Collins and DK Metcalf and everything else that happens during Monday Night Football, plus all the injury updates that you need to know. For Stefania, Daniel, Matthew, I'm Fields. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.
Peace out!
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island. Going full Haynesworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.